Since we've already worked with Joshua to create our characters and the general world for this Avatar Fate game, he's taken that information, put it around in his head, played around with it, and spit it back out as our current world that the game is going to take place in. This episode we cover the world we've created as well as the history, so we know what kind of things we're dealing with. Enjoy.
Okay. Tell us about our world.
Okay, well, if you will look at your maps in front of you.
While I wake up.
The world is more or less shaped the same. You have the north and south poles with the icy continent areas on both. North of the south pole, you have a lot of those. Southern Islands, Kyoshi Island, Whale Tail Island, all of those kinds of things. You still have the big continent there in the central eastern side, which ironically looks a lot like Europe and Asia, and not so much Africa. Maybe that's where some of the islands come from, I'm not sure. But the whole Earth Kingdom there, and then kind of where Italy and the Mediterranean Sea would be is where you will find Unity.
Okay.
Unity being the capital of the Water Nation. It is currently underwater. Formerly, it was a Republic City, which, as we all know, Republic City fell into disarray as the spirits kind of took over for a while and then became a third spirit pole with that energy cannon blast at the very end of the TV series last episode they made.
Nice.
Since then, that has been assumedly sealed off by sinking it underwater. The Water Kingdom calls it Unity because it's a place that requires people of all nations to work together in peace and harmony to keep it running. You have the waterbenders, of course, that are keeping water flowing through without seawater flooding the actual underwater city. You have earthbenders keeping things protected and safe. You have the firebenders basically heating and working.
Providing heat?
Providing heat and light as much needed. And you have airbenders, keeping the oxygen breathable. Forgot to mention earthbenders are also making sure food grows underwater. Now, none of you have ever actually been to Unity. We're going to establish that. Everything you hear about Unity, because it's very hard to get to being underwater. Everything you hear about Unity is just what everybody knows and what everybody keeps talking up is this wonderful place where harmony is achievable. And it's kind of the, not only the capital, but the backbone of the Water Nation, their philosophy, and that, we don't have to be separated anymore into different lands, different kingdoms, because all benders can come together. Everyone can work together.
Boy, that's sweet.
And live in peaceful unity.
Oh, adorable.
There's also the normal rumors of no crime in the Glass Dome City. That's Unity, by the way.
Yes.
And so there's kind of the central hub of the ideal world. The Earth Kingdom Nation, that big continent, actually still has some official Earth Kingdom cities, mostly in the area of Ba Sing Se, to the northeastern portion. Now, the rest of it really is kind of loose territory. None of the kingdoms really have, an established hold. They're all kind of mingled together because one of the big things the waterbenders have been doing in the name of peace is bringing irrigation to the Earth Kingdom and kind of making crops grow, making things more prosperous, more plentiful. So where you have those fishing villages and Jet's Forest, and even down in the Lover's Cave, you have a lot of fertile area. The library and the desert. The desert is a lot smaller now. It's a lot harsher now because of the size reduction. There in the central and southern eastern portion of the continent, very ironically at its center. Mm-hmm. The desert's still there, but it shrunk a lot.
Okay.
I should probably have mentioned earlier, all of these things that we know as fans of the show that happened during Aang's time and Korra's time is all kind of ancient history again. You'll find ruins of the old civilizations, possibly, as you travel through. So, like, the Southern Air Temple on the Southern Islands is completely, ruins, forgotten, as the air nomads have moved to the desert and kind of live in that desert area where they're still free to roam about. It's a nomad okay. phase. And, there's a lot of mixing. Mostly of water benders and earth benders on the continent to the north, south, west islands where the Fire Nation capital was. It's still Roku's Island and Ember Island, and all of these have taken on a more volcanic nature as the Fire Nation, from what stories told, had to kind of do that as a political refusal to the advancing, Water Nation trying to make their peaceful coexistence. to the Fire Nation, it's kind of a peaceful invasion, all of the lands to be exactly the same kind of environment. They want, their Fire Nation to be Fire Nation, and by raising the volcanoes and stirring up the older ones, they've kind of made it impossible for the Water Nation to do that. And of course, being a peaceful nation, out of necessitated respect, they do leave those islands alone for the most part. The Fire Nation has kind of spread, and you'll see their presence, mostly descended from colonies, on many of the southern islands, a few scattered through the Ba Sing Se, Earth Kingdom area as well. Not so much the poles. And of course, there's unity in unity. So you'll see people of all four nations down there. Fire Nation is also kind of rumored black market dealing, depending on who you ask. They're either vicious thugs or more like the Mafia or Mr. Big from Zootopia. Kind of this, because they've become so small, they've become, very much a family, and they look out for their own for each other. So there's that kind of element going on as well. The Western Air Temples, it's another ruin that falls in the Fire Nation area. Again, none of the air temples really are visited by air nomads. They stick to the desert as that's kind of their place to roam free. There's not a lot of talk as to why they don't get along so well with the Water Nation. Everyone has their theories. Most people kind of refer, instead of the air nomads, they're kind of called the air bandits. And that's kind of the public view of what airbenders are. Aww. They've kind of dropped down to these thieves and these caravans of gypsy pickpockets, and either or very brutish criminals.
Sorry, did you say very British criminals?
Brute-ish.
Okay, I thought you said British criminals.
You just like getting me in all kinds of trouble, don't you?
All the time.
The central continent was one of the first places to really be irrigated, and has become a beautiful, lush forest with waterfalls, and there's many waterbending places there along the rivers. There's not many waterbenders at the northern and southern pole now. Those spirit portals are still, and they've kind of become the lands where spirits are allowed to dwell. There's not been a lot of getting along with spirits of lately, because spirits like to mess with people. They like to mess with the natural way of order. And the Water Tribe, being the nation that has the most experience and the most methods for dealing with the spirits, with banishments and whatnot, have kind of taken it upon themselves to designate those areas and keep those borders as there's where spirits are allowed. And of course, you can't really contain spirits.
Were they a bigger part of the Korra story? Because I don't remember them in the first series.
What, spirits?
Yeah. Were they in the first series?
They were, but the portals were closed off. So you had just a few that could come in and out, or those that were created. The Avatar, like in the first series, Aang, was supposed to be the bridge between the spiritual and the mortal world.
Okay.
And so you see him interacting with a bear ghost, or with the spirit that stole faces.
I remember.
Yeah, so spirits aren't necessarily what we think of as ghosts. There's a few of them, sure. But most humans go through the reincarnation.
Oh, okay. Sorry, what was that?
When you die, your spirit comes back as a new life. Most famous in the Avatar cycle, comes back from a different person in each tribe.
Yeah.
And some people, though, can commit their spirits to becoming as spirits of the spirit realm. There was the Painted Lady from the Fire Nation. That was one example. Probably the most famous, though, is Zuko's uncle. One of my favorite characters in the Avatar series, that decided he was going to be a spirit and kind of left his body to tend to the spirit realm. And you can kind of still see him there even to this day, if you know to look for him or happen to find him, serving tea to spirits and offering just that little bit of wisdom that everyone always seems to need whenever they find him. So
that's right, he's a force ghost.
Something like that, actually, yeah. Jedi wisdom and all that. He's kind of this world's version of Yoda. And, since the spirit portals were opened by Avatar Korra, a lot more spirits have just been able to freely cross that border through those points in the North and the South Pole. And for a time, they're at Republic City, now Unity. That, of course, has been sealed up. There's still some people talk about, there's probably some spirits getting along with everybody else because Unity is such a perfect city. But for the most part, while some spirits are able to roam and avoid detection or cause problems for a short time before they're banished, most spirits, and if you want to visit the spirit city or community that's not actually in the spirit realm, you would go to North Pole and South Pole.
Okay.
The swamplands are still mostly untouched. The swamp being there at the southern, southwestern, really, side of the Earth continent. Very well irrigated, and converting that to the lands that most of the Water Nation are big on making the world look like would actually require earthbending, not waterbending.
Okay.
Probably a unified effort, but right now, as the story begins at least, the Water Nation politicians are more interested in converting the Earth Nation to a green, lush paradise place, stretching from the Great Divide, which is now converted all the way over to Chameleon, that area.
How How much technology is there? I'm assuming there's metal.
There is metal. Technology is kind of reverted back to what you would find in Aang's story of the Avatar. There's iron. Steel is just recently rediscovered. You're not going to find a lot of platinum right off the bat, necessarily. And, of course, there's always gold and silver and bronze. The reason for the change back is, technology had gotten moving mecha suits and, doing all of the world fight war just got so much that, everyone kind of threatened to destroy the world, and anyone, any idiot with no bending could still just push a button and into the world.
Yeah.
And then there was a great war, as the spirits saw this as a threat and, okay, we're going to wipe out the humans and got unified on that. Well, they got a lot of support. And it was kind of actually referred to as the last Avatar War. And there was such an explosion and such a destruction of so many places that much of the earth was left scarred. And so in the peace talk afterwards, the Water Nation kind of took it upon themselves as, okay, we're going to set things right. We're going to make the land grow again. We're going to sort this out. And for a while, there was a lot of hunting down of people that just retrenching, trying to build airships or clockwork birds or anything. And that's all in the past. Since then, the Water Nation has not really needed to hunt down people with those advanced technology for a couple of generations now because it's all gone. It's all locked in these ruins that are just too dangerous for anyone to go into anyway.
Nice.
And, this desire to make the earth, whole again and healed, really, they've already done that. All the places that were burned and scarred, with maybe the exception of the rescarring of the volcanic islands with the Fire Nation, they've already brought the world back to kind of the good that it was doing.
Isn't water great?
And they'll tell you that too. But now that they've, in a sense, cleansed the world, that's why stop there. Why not keep advancing and make the world an even better place? And they don't fight. When it comes down to it, individuals are individuals, but the Water Nation as a whole has this philosophy of, we're not going to fight it out. We're not going to be violent. Work to those barbaric ways of the Avatar's generations. We're going to talk things out. And anything, any conflict, any problem can be resolved if we just sit down and talk it out. And so now you have the age of the politicians, in which people make their living and are in very high status socially because they're able to express views, opinions, make treaties, and hold people to those promises that are in writing.
Are you going to make one of the politicians talk about getting to the root of the issue?
If we get some woodbenders, we may get to that.
Nice.
And for the most part, they've actually been very successful. Even with the Fire Nation kind of having this very isolated, protective, self-interest view, and even with the Earth Kingdom slowly being absorbed, for lack of a better word.
Eroded?
Eroded. Oh, that's nice. That is a much better word. We'll go with that. And the air nomads are kind of being, locked into this much smaller area. Generations they've been able to explore. On the surface, it looks like it really has worked. No nation has attacked another one. Everyone is getting along in public. And, even the fighting in private is mostly talking and planning and scheming and trying to outmaneuver each other with contracts and political agreements and arranged marriages and all of these kinds of things. So even the, we refer to it as political and as far as anybody knows, public eye, unviolent, and progress keeps going. Now, of course, there are a lot of problems still in the world. There's the roaming spirits. There's the people with problems that just, you know, happens when you're rich. You get problems
for
rich people. There's still wild and tameable places. There's still forests, and there's still large animals. And there are still the random criminals. One thing
there's
about
humans.
There's people. So there's problems. And, you know, the Water Nation decided a long time ago, before your time, that they didn't want to be what the Fire Nation once was, taking over the world and unifying them by force. And so the people actually in charge of keeping the peace are the heroes of the ages, the White Lotus. But, you know, the White Lotus is just a small organization, granted, of elite people. And they are based in unity and can't really do everything. They're all contracted to other organizations, which has eventually become this big chain of small flower-based named organizations that, you know, take on tasks and jobs, and by completing them are able to and also get political sway and favors cashed in. They're not, I mean, technically they are mercenaries, but they're not thought of as mercenaries. They're more thought of as marshals that have this permission to act on the White Lotus's behalf, you know, around the world. Specific jobs, specific rules, that is completely unaffiliated whatsoever with any one nation that all four nations have agreed can handle. There's a big treaty that nobody actually knows the specifics of, just kind of the general terms. And of course, the fact that they are based in unity, the water capital city, is merely coincidental. Because, I mean, really, it's not because the Water Nation has any sway or ownership in them. It's because the unity is the perfect city. And if you're going to be that politically powerful, of course you want to live in paradise.
If no one knows about these, the what's actually written, could it be called the Sealed Accords?
The Sealed Accords?
Like the Unsealy Accords?
Yeah, no, I got exactly what you're doing.
No, it was horrible. I'm sorry.
I'm actually wanting to call them the Unsealed Accords because it kind of, you know, anyone can go to Unity and read them. And they're there for public display, and it was kind of this big deal that the four nations agreed, okay, this is who's going to take care of problems between nations, or problems, you know, big political problems within nations. It's going to be a completely independent party, and everyone's going to respect them. And the Water Nation's going to totally not control them or have any sway in them over the other nations. And that's actually where our adventures kind of picking up in our one such branch of do-gooders.
Crimson Water Lilies.
The Crimson Water Lilies. And the Crimson Water Lilies solve problems out of the goodness of their heart and for the greater good of the peoples of the four nations.